Okay, thank you for starting the recording, Jace.
Absolutely.
Sarah, as outgoing president, do you want to go ahead and call the meeting to order?
Sure. Welcome, everyone. I'll call the meeting to order at 2:02.
Okay, thank you so much. I'll go ahead and do a roll call. Ada Bird. Danielle Cornelius.
Here.
Emily Enderle.
Here.
There she is. Okay, Sarah Hill.
Here.
Hope Kasten.
Here.
Donna Shaw. Miranda Shake.
Here.
Dawn Taylor. Kyla Waltermeyer.
Here.
Carol Zeese.
Here.
Okay. So we have quite a few just minutes to approve from previous meetings, including the February meeting, the budget review in April, and then the members group meeting all the way back in January. It has been kind of a long time since we've taken care of that. So we can either pull them apart to do each one if you would like, or if you've had a chance to review them and somebody would like to make a motion for all three, that would be fine as well.
I'll make the motion to approve all three of the minutes listed in the agenda.
And do we have a second?
This is Miranda. I can second that.
Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
I can't quite hear that last bit. What was that?
Oh, we're just doing a roll call for minutes. Minutes, all three, motion to approve. It's for a roll call vote. So Emily, do you approve those?
Oh, yes. I don't know why it just all of a sudden went really quiet.
Oh, no problem. Can everybody else hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yes. I want to make sure. I've been having headset issues, so I wanted to make sure. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Hope Kasten?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Okay, so new business. We need to appoint a new president and vice president. And so Sarah Hill, thank you so much for serving this past year in your role as president of the Share Executive Council. What would normally happen is the vice president would move up into the president position. And so that's actually Donna Shaw, and she is not here to defend herself. But we would also need to select a vice president that would be kind of the president-elect for the following year. Would anyone like to volunteer to be vice president for this next year? Okay, I'm going to have to get you guys calm down a little bit. I can't get all of you to be vice president. Anybody? So really the only responsibility for the president, and vice president is even less because you'd only do it if the president was not available, is to run the meeting like Sarah did. You'd call it to order and then close out the meetings. And you keep the meetings moving. If we start getting, you know, talking in circles, you got to kind of keep things flowing. And then the big responsibility is the share membership meeting that's usually in January. We ask you to open the meeting and welcome everyone, kind of give it just a little recap of what we've done throughout the year. So it's really not a ton of extra work or responsibility necessarily.
I'll second that. I've been on a lot of boards and professional organizations and committees for various things. So this is an easy one, trust me.
Yeah. I have a logistics question.
Sure.
So for folks like me who are here as the liaisons, like the chair liaisons to a committee, does that make us eligible to be president and vice president, or is it only for those who were elected?
No, it does make you eligible. That is, Dawn is actually on the Bibb City Standards Committee, and I think there's a good precedent for e-resources because Ryan Johnson was president for several years. Or not several years, but he was president in his last year before when his term was up.
Okay, I'll do the vice president thing.
Carol, thank you so much. So that is very much appreciated. And so would somebody like to nominate Donna Shaw and as president and Carol Zeese as vice president for this next fiscal year?
I'll make that nomination. It's Miranda.
Thanks, Miranda. Do we have a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Kyla. Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
Yes, sorry, still having problems.
No problem, Emily, thanks. And if it's helpful for you, if you can hear us, and you would prefer to do it in chat, that's also, you can do that as well, if that'd be helpful. Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Hope Kasten?
Yes.
Hope, I'm sorry, I must not have heard you.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, thank you. Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Wonderful, thank you so much. I'm also very pleased to announce that we do have a new member joining us. Deb has volunteered to represent small libraries in the SHARE Consortium. And so she is from the Greenup Township Public Library. Deb, would you like to introduce yourself or say anything?
Hi, I'm glad to be on the committee. I've done it in the past as a school librarian. So kind of changing hats here. Been in the public library for 8 years now. So just getting back on board.
Well, that's wonderful, Deb. And just to verify, you do prefer Deb, is that right?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. Would someone like to make a motion to add Deb Sherrick as a small library representative?
This is Miranda. I'll make that motion.
Okay. Do we have a second?
This is Emily. I fixed my thing and I second that motion.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, we'll go ahead and do another roll call. Danielle Cornelius?
Yes.
Emily Enderle?
Yes.
Sarah Hill?
Yes.
Hope Kasten?
Yes.
Miranda Shake?
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Okay. The next thing on our agenda is just really an update. It's not an action item. It's about our special libraries. And so we have two special libraries right now who are in a suspended status with the IHLS for certification, which means that they're also in a suspended status with us, because if you aren't an IHLS member and you can't meet that certification, you also can't participate in SHARE. And so the two libraries in question are going to be reviewing this fall with their administrators regarding their status, but it's likely that both of them will be dropping SHARE membership and possibly even IHLS membership. And so I don't think it's really a surprise. I think that special libraries, we've kind of seen a little bit more of them starting to close their doors. And so definitely disappointed, but we are doing everything we can to retain them if possible, but understanding that they might have to make some hard decisions. So I just wanted to give you all an update on that. Next on the agenda, we have share membership fees, and that is a very big discussion. I don't know, not everyone is a director here that might have gotten the email from me, but I had sent something out because the Share Finance and Policy Committee has reviewed a financial forecast that IHLS Finance Department has prepared for us. And so what has happened is about 4 years ago, we went through the process to raise membership fees. And from there, our revenues have stayed steady, but of course, expenditures have gone up. And so they actually had initially anticipated that we'd start going into a negative status this fiscal year. And we do have a benchmark to have 3 to 6 months operating cash available to pay, especially at the beginning of the year when we bill on an annual cycle. It's just there to available for the Polaris bill specifically. But we try to keep 3 to 6 months of operating expenditures just as liquid cash. But that's going to start chipping away at that every year. And they anticipate that we'd be really out of money in 2028. Fiscal year 2028. We're in 24 now, so we've got some time, but we need to address it sooner rather than later so we don't lose that 3 to 6 months benchmark that we plan for. So with that, the Share Finance and Policy Committee, we've done this before and we've started the process again of reviewing what that might look like and how much money we need to actually generate over the next 3 years based on that forecast. And there's been a lot of different ways that we've raised fees in the past. So when we started talking about it, we could do things just as we've done in the past of a traditional fee where it's a $150 membership fee, then what's called the basic fee, which is based on a calculation, and then individual module fees plus cloud library. And now we're also into the mix, the Share Mobile Library and the Aspen Discovery Layer. And so we do have a proposal for that we're fine-tuning for the Share Finance and Policy. But we also started talking about what it would look like if we just had one fee. And that's just an all-inclusive charge. And that would include Cloud Library and Aspen. It would not include the Share Mobile Library custom templates because we pay the vendor for those on an annual basis. So for example, Danielle, if you had a custom template for the app for your students, you would still pay $250 per year for that particular piece of it, just simply because we have to pay the vendor that fee. So it's not something that's just embedded into our accounts. And so we reached out to directors to see if that was of interest and if that was something that they would like us to consider. And it was a very mixed review. There's a lot of concern with our small libraries. One person said, and I think this just kind of encapsulates it, and what the Share Finance and Policy Committee has discussed was that if they go out to dinner with a group and order a salad and water, don't make them pay for everybody else's steak dinner. Which certainly understand that idea. So we started calling this the nuclear option, just rolling everything in. And there's a lot of pros and cons in doing both ways. But when we actually looked at the numbers, we started to find that when you spread the cost of some of these products out between everyone, bottom line is everyone is going to have to pay more. But you might not, your increase, you're going to get more with the all-inclusive model than you would if you were to pick and choose. The problem is we do have some libraries that do not participate in Cloud Library, or they're not going to sign up for Aspen. They don't use the modules. They will notice an increase because on top of that, it is also their the actual increase just for the basic fee. And so we are going to fine tune some proposals, and then we will put that out, hopefully for member comment in the next few months, so members can give us some feedback. I'm still kind of noodling between the vote process for that, because we don't want them to vote until we know which direction we're going to go. And I will be blunt, I don't want the vote to not go through because they didn't like the model that we selected. So I almost feel like we might consider doing a vote just on which model to choose first, and then a second vote to approve the new member fee structure. So I'm still thinking that over of how best to do that. But we do have a package of information that we'll be providing to members about why we need to do this. I've reached out to Polaris. Miranda, you'll be so glad, as Miranda's the chair of the Finance and Policy Committee. She'll be so happy to hear that I reached out to Polaris. They are going to provide us some information on what it would cost for a standalone library to utilize Polaris on an annual basis. So that will be a good comparison as we plan this. And then last time we went through this process, I had a spreadsheet. I've always said that comparing a consortial budget is not the same as necessarily comparing to a public library, because we are, even though the staffing might be about equivalent to a medium to large library, we don't have the same programs that you guys do. And so instead of comparing for our members to compare us to their budget, it's instead comparing us to other consortia. And so when we did that back in, it would have been 2018, we have the most members, obviously, being the largest automation consortium in North America. But we also had one of the lower tiers of staffing per that many members. And we also, you know, had very reasonable salary rates comparatively. And so when you actually can see the numbers, you can see that between our staffing, that we're on a very lean budget with our staff and personnel costs for the amount of members that we serve. We also for that comparison have the lowest membership costs. And so you can really kind of see that we are doing a really great job of utilizing the tax dollars that you guys are responsible for wisely. And so we will definitely continue that. There were a few comments that made us a little nervous, the Chair Finance and Policy Committee as a whole, about, you know, if you raise our fees, we're going to have to shut our doors. And we're trying to be very mindful of that as well. And so the conversation is ongoing. So I just wanted to give you an update on where we were with that. There's no action that we need to take at this time, but wanted to open it up for questions or concerns, if anybody had any thoughts about the two different proposals.
I just had a question about the timeline. So when do you think you'll have the two proposals ready for committees to look at, or like what's
I'm really that? Hoping. So we will be meeting again later this month. I'm really hoping by our next meeting, I'll have something, maybe not our next meeting, but something for you guys to review. And then by the following meeting, so that would probably be in December, it'll be ready to go out for vote.
And will it be the kind of proposal where we'll see like what the fees are for the next 3 years, or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we usually try to make a commitment that it would be for a 3-year cycle. It would not be an increase every year. However, there are some options that we're looking at that might be like a tiered increase where, okay, so next year cataloging fees has been one of the things that we've been looking at. So we've not changed that fee structure since the systems merged. So $10, $3 bibs. So maybe it'd go to 12 to 4, and then 13 to 5, and then 15 to 6 or something like that, like some type of tiered stepped system. So it's not all at once, to kind of get people eased in, but that will be communicated that this is what's happening every year. Anybody else have any questions or comments on that? Okay. Well, as soon as we have additional information and can really dive deep into the data, we'll have a better conversation and proposal once that's all completed. All right. And so next up, again, it's not necessarily an action item. It's just something I wanted to share of where we are with the Aspen project. We have contracted with Leslie Zavaduk. She used to be our e-resources coordinator here at IHLS. And so she actually went on to become her own consultant, and she does a lot of work with us for grants. But when we were talking about this, this was a little bit bigger of a project than our staff could handle. So I reached out to her for a temporary consulting contract to help with the implementation. And what her role will be is to work with our member libraries and be a liaison between our member libraries and Bywater Solutions, which is the company that manages Aspen. So if members have questions, they can reach out. If Bywater Solutions needs something from our members, she can kind of help facilitate that. So it's only going to be about 10 hours a week for 1 year, and with a possibility for a second year if we're still working on the migration. We have worked with Bywater Solutions for a contract that has been finalized, though it's still, Leslie Bedner is actually out this week, but it's been through the review through our attorney. And so it's good to go. We're just waiting on her signature when she returns. And so from there, we'll go ahead and start the implementation. We do have the libraries who had the reservations are now notified of what their fee will be for this next year. We do have a formal fee scale that if we go to the traditional, what I'm calling the traditional model, we just stay the same of just raising our fees and still having each thing independently priced, that will follow through the next few years. And we're updating the website. We're getting communications ready. We've already started talking about marketing plans, like having bookmarks, videos, flyers for member libraries so they can roll this out to their patrons. I'm trying to think if there's anything else about Aspen. Maybe if some of our share team members, anything that you guys think of that maybe I've missed. Oh, and we're doing database cleanup. Yeah.
I can't think of anything. I think you covered everything.
So we're really excited. We're ready to hit the ground running. Any questions about Aspen? Okay. Because it's a new fiscal year, I always want to throw this out to the committee if the time and date of our meeting is still working for everyone. I especially want to address that with our school library representatives, because I know it can be sometimes difficult to coordinate with your class schedules, and hope you're the only one here today. Does this still work for you?
I would say that in general, it's probably the best time, like later in the day where things in my world slow down typically. There are times of the year that I'm busy the whole day, every day that week. So there have been a few times where I've missed, but I think this is probably the best time in the afternoon. So let me clarify. So in the afternoon later, towards the end of the school day is best, when teachers are wrapping things up and they may not let students leave as often, or they might have a prep period that time. I have a few English teachers with a prep period in the afternoon, so then I usually see less traffic during that time compared to the morning. So yeah, and Thursdays, I think that might be the best option. I would think that a lot of people may take a day off on a Monday or a Friday. So I think in the middle of the week is better.
Okay. What I might do is just go ahead and leave this on the agenda for next time as well, just so everybody who may not have been able to attend today can have a chance to chime in as well. Because I know we've kind of gone back and forth between like 2 and 2:30, depending on what some of our school library representatives have for their free times that they can sit in a meeting. So we'll just make sure that this still is working for everyone. Does anybody have any other new business? Okay, and then we'll go on to old business. This is the permissions policy is the was sent through Share Finance and Policy for review, which basically is stating that the we don't give permissions out to just anyone into Polaris because obviously that's sensitive information. And so this started as privacy concerns. And so when we started talking about it, we realized that there were some libraries that were giving logins to their volunteers, which is fine. Student workers, that was something that we wanted to address of limited permissions, but also even trustees. And so that's not necessarily the best practice. And so that's where we drafted this proposal that it is for member library staff that are trained member library staff. And so we did add that caveat that Board of Trustee members will not be issued a login automatically unless they're a regular volunteer and that we would evaluate the necessity for that. So it's really still very much library autonomy. So Kyla, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you called in and said, hey, I've got this board of trustee, a trustee member that would like to help us barcode new incoming items, and we can train them, and we'd like to get them a login, we would discuss that with you and what kind of permissions that they would need. But we kind of want to give some, trying to think of the nice way to say it, give a little bit of weight for those libraries who have board members that might sometimes, I know you guys wouldn't believe that sometimes trustees overreach. I know you can't possibly believe that that would happen, but you could, a new library director coming in could say that your consortia does not allow that. So that's where we can kind of put some weight on that, but it really is going to be very clearly up to the library director to decide what their needs are for Polaris access. And so we did put it out for member comment. We only had one comment from Tina Hubert, so she said she thought it was fine. And so we just need to make a motion to send it out for membership vote at our next membership meeting. And at this point, if you all approve, it will be best practice until then.
I move that we vote forward as outlined.
Okay. Do we have a second?
I second. Deb, okay. Sherrick.
Deb, thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, we'll do a roll call. Danielle Cornelius.
Yes.
Emily Enderle.
Yes.
Sarah Hill.
Yes.
Hope Kasten.
Yes.
Miranda Shake.
Yes.
Kyla Waltermeyer?
Yes.
And Carol Zeese?
Yes.
Okay, wonderful. All right, do we have any other old business? All right, then we can go ahead and move on. Unfortunately, I talked to Ellen earlier today. She was not able to make the meeting because she's on the road to go to a board meeting for a member library that's having some concerns with just needing some support for board relations. And so she did ask me to share that we have a few things coming up. We're right in the middle of annual report season, so we're preparing that data and we'll be sending that in. So you might be getting some additional information on how we did this last year for review for all of our members, both share as well as just IHLS as a whole. We also have planned our annual meeting and the October IHLS Board of Trustees meeting. So I'm talking about annual meeting for IHLS Board of Trustees, not for SHARE. So that meeting is actually going to be on October 31st. I know that that's kind of an odd time, but the previous week is ILA. Yeah, I see the face. And so it will be on October 31st. And so more information will be coming out. And we also have, we're really hitting the ground running with Member Day. So that's ongoing. We just sent out, I personally am on that committee, just sent out a save the date to some of our preferred vendors of some opportunities that they will have in the coming months to sponsor IHLS and reach out to our members. So that's really exciting as well. So that's going to be in actually February. We pushed it back a little bit, so it won't be in the fall. It'll be in February of 2024. I can't believe that. And with Leah Gregory on our team, there's going to be a lot of options for teachers, but we also are now offering that PDH credits for all of our school libraries. So we're really glad and excited about that. Yeah. So does anybody have any questions about some of the upcoming IHLS events?
Just one. For the October 31st event, are we allowed to wear costumes?
I think that's a great idea. I think that would be great. Okay. So we are also, let's see, go to the share update. I think that a lot of what I've already, what I had is we've already talked about to some degree. One of the things I forgot to mention, one of the things that I'm working on right now is also for the 10-year celebration of eRead Illinois. If you can believe, it's actually been 10 years. So the Tuesday evening at ILA, we're going to have an eRead Illinois celebration. We're doing that in conjunction with Rails, hosting that event. And so we've reached out to Biblioteca Cloud Library to sponsor part of that event. And so that'll be a fun after hours networking opportunity. We are also working on the affiliate expansion to promote share to some of our school libraries that are using alternative ILS products to offer the share database as an ILL interlibrary loan vehicle as a temporary trial basis so they can make that argument that share would be beneficial for their students. We're also, as part of that planned program, we're also going to be sponsoring at ILA Isle IdeaCon and Reaching Forward South this next fiscal year. So we've got a lot of opportunities to reach out to members at all of those. And of course, I've mentioned a little bit about the database cleanup that our bibliographic services team has started. And so with that, I can go ahead and send it over to our team. Let's see. Jennifer, do you want to go ahead and give an update for Bib Services?
Sure. Thanks, Cassie. So like Cassie said, our main focus right now is the Aspen cleanup. We're sending out lists. We've sent out, I want to say close to 100 to 100 different public libraries, asking them to look at barcodes that just seem a little off to us or any items that they have that have information in the volume field, whether it is correct in being there or it's not. We're letting the owning library decide since they know their collection best, as long as it follows our policies. Other than that, we did welcome a new cataloger this past month. Her name is Sanan. She's in our Champagne office. Oh, Kitty, sorry, got distracted. And she's been doing a great job. We're happy to have her with us and she's working through training. She'll be a great resource for anybody who has any questions, as well as the rest of the team. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jen. Tina.
Good afternoon. Well, we are gearing up for back to school. Sadly, I know, Hope, your summer's coming to a close. So the student imports have started rolling in. We have now, I think, it's either 234 or 235 schools that are share members since we had Giant City Schools go live last week. So they're up and running. Again, just prepping for Aspen, I've been working on some database cleanup on the admin side, cleaning up the zip code table, some of the addresses that are in Polaris, things of that nature. And we have a lot of libraries that their fiscal year ended at the end of June. So they're working on their IPLR. So I've been helping a lot of libraries get the reports needed and try to help them comprehend what what IPLR is actually asking for, because I know that can be a challenge. But other than that, things are good here on the admin side.
Great. So I am going to also make one last quick share update. Jace Cook has started with us as our administrative assistant for our department. And he came in and did such a phenomenal job that we actually have promoted him to our share membership engagement specialist. There's going to be a lot of overlap through some of the things that he's doing. But you will start to see his name more and more as he's helping us plan logistics for like the eRead Illinois. He's participating in that, helping get us the sponsorships prepared for our sponsorships for some of the upcoming conferences. But I think maybe even Jace, we might put you on the agenda if you have any other member updates that you want to provide to the committee. So I'm so sorry I'm putting you on the spot, but if you wanted to say anything, you're more than welcome to, if you've got anything that maybe other share updates that we might have missed.
I think we covered most of it, other than we're going to be at ILA, we'll be at ILE, ARSL. We're kind of working on maybe some transportation situations for future conferences, so we'll keep you posted on that. Could be like a group situation for travel, but it's still very tentative right now. But other than that, I think you covered it all.
All right. Thank you, Jace. Okay. Anybody have any questions for the share team? Okay. Hearing none. We'll go to committee updates. Donna is not here. Jennifer, I'm so sorry. Could I put you on the spot to give an update? Maybe if you have resources handy of maybe our last meeting.
Would it be possible to come back around to me and I will pull up the minutes?
Yes, I will be happy to do that. I'm so sorry. I didn't think of it until just literally right now. it looks like Esther is Esther is the circulation and resource sharing committee member. And unfortunately, she is no longer the chair of that committee just because of her term on the Share Executive Council has ended. And so we do actually have a share or a circulation and resource sharing opening that was going to be the new chair of that committee, but fortunately for her, she took a new job. And so she had to step down from that committee. So we are without a circulation chair right now. Some of the things that that group has been working on has also been the permissions that was very discussed pretty heavily in that group. Let me see, there was a lot of discussion about interlibrary loan violations and what that looked like for street date violations. And so we do actually have a policy for interlibrary loan violations when it's something that's especially egregious or long lasting that's not being resolved. So we do already have a policy in place. So we did discuss that with the committee. And so there were no changes, but it was just reviewed. And let's see if there was anything else. We do have a new member, Tammy Caputo at Mahomet Public Library is also new to that committee. So, and then we've talked in between the BIB standards and the circulation committee a lot about the international DVDs, Blu-ray discs. So having a code for 4K Blu-ray and where we have left that is that we want maybe less of an emphasis on the type of technology and more of an emphasis on the type of format. And so if I've misstated that, Jen, please feel free to jump in with that.
You are good. And then we, along with that policy related, there is additional documentation on the website of what to do when you have those situations for your bibliographic records.
Okay. All right. So that's pretty much what we have for the Share Circulation and Resource Sharing Committee. Those have been zipping along pretty quickly recently as well. So I'll go ahead and turn it over to Miranda for Finance and Policy.
Let's see. I don't remember when the last time we met within this group was. So I'm feeling like I need to talk about our last two meetings. So Policy and Finance met back in May, and we actually met in person in Vandalia and had probably a 5-hour meeting and got, you know, got a lot of work done, but then realized how much more work we needed to do. So, I mean, I can show you stacks and stacks of paper from all the work we did comparing all the different ways we wanted to look at the numbers. And then we did come back together and met in person again in July, this time in Effingham. It wasn't quite as long. I think it was maybe 4 hours, but we've gotten a lot of work done in that committee. But Cassie's already really talked quite a bit about it, so I don't know that I need to beat that horse. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay, yeah, and I think that that has been really the focus of that committee between the permissions policy and then the fee scales has been really a heavy focus on those.
Yeah, okay. We've done a lot of hard work.
Yeah, definitely. And much appreciation to Miranda and that committee, because the driving all over and meeting frequently and in person and for not just an hour here and an hour there. They were all day meetings. So, and it was great to see everybody. I know we were there to work, but it was really great to get everybody in the room to really brainstorm and talk it out, which was really nice. Okay, e-resources committee. Kyla?
All righty. So the committee met on March 27th. Our next one is scheduled for September 25th. At the March meeting, we went over several cloud library related things, such as the rollout of Kids Mode for the cloud library app that has gone live through Biblioteca. And just a quick note that for people using it, it can be tricky to find where to toggle back to the normal mode from Kids Mode, but it is possible. And I believe some instructions were shared, but I don't remember if it was Biblioteca or if it was Cher who sent out the guidance on how to do that. So just be aware of that if you're using it. At the time of our meeting, there were 4 new cloud library members, and another one was evaluating the service with a trial. And Cher was working with Biblioteca to do a diversity audit of the cloud library collection. Cassie's already touched quite a bit on the Aspen implementation, so I won't regale you with that because her information is more current than mine. I guess going back to cloud library, something that we've been struggling with is that there are long hold wait times and lists in cloud library. We have the PPU, the price per unit option available and in play, but that's being used up almost right away at the beginning of each month. It's not really having a noticeable impact on our ability to get the holds lists under control. So one of the things that we'll be discussing at our next meeting, which it would be in tandem with the overall discussion of the share fees, is that we might need to discuss possible membership fee increases to give us more purchasing power to address those holds. So again, no conversation at this point of yet. That is going to be up for discussion during our next meeting.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, so any questions for the committee members, committee chairs?
I do have one more thing I could add. If anybody's interested, we are going to have another meeting August 23rd, and it will be virtual, so you wouldn't have to drive to Vandalia or Effingham.
Okay, thank you so much.
Cassie, do you want me to do bib services?
Yes, I'm so sorry. I almost forgot. Thank you.
All good. Thanks for your patience in getting that pulled up. So we did elect Donna Shaw to remain the current committee chair for this upcoming fiscal year. We had a good discussion about our abundance of collection codes. There's over 1,200. My team is going to start looking through those, seeing what duplicates there are, see if there's a way we can reduce those a little bit. We don't want to take away library autonomy, but if we can make it a little more manageable, that'd be great. The Let's see. We also updated the problem resolution for bibliographic services document. It was a minor change. We are no longer doing barcoding classes in two courses. We've condensed it down to one, still covering all the same information, just a little more manageable for people, especially with busy schedules. So we changed the document to reflect that and also allows for flexibility in the future if there's any changes. And then we also updated the on-order policy. Most of the updates were just to make it a little bit easier and cleaner to read. Rather than having a list, it's more of a chart format. And then we also made the 690 field mandatory, which is your library uses on-order records. It's where you would put coming attractions, just to help further differentiate this record from other records. And that was the meeting.
Thank you so much, Jen. Mm-hmm. Okay, any questions for Jen? All right, do we have any public comment? Or any announcements? Okay, great. Well, I put next meeting to be decided just because we had that on the agenda of the meeting date and time. Our next regularly scheduled meeting will be on Thursday, October 5th at 2 p.m. And again, we'll just carry that over just to make sure that that's still working for everybody who couldn't be here today. All right, so since Donna isn't here, Carol, I will. We can pass the baton if you would like to close the meeting out as the new vice president.
Okay.
What we say the magic words, mm-hmm. There being no further business, we adjourn the meeting at, and then whatever time it is.
Okay, there being no further business, we will adjourn the meeting at 2:48 p.m.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you guys. Yeah. For your time today. And Deb, again, it's so good to welcome you to this group. You guys have a great afternoon.